The date is, what is the date?
November 20th.
Okay. Well, this is my interview with the famous Janet Sumner. Famous in these here parts as part of a gospel group named Heaven's Echoes. That's right, right?
That's right.
Okay. And we wanted to find out some information on this group and the kinds of places they perform. And let's begin with, I was intrigued by your mission statement. Performing and bringing others into God's love is what we are all about. Would you agree that's your mission statement?
Yes.
Okay, well, what fascinated me then was where y'all perform.
Yeah.
And I noticed you have here, we are willing and able to perform for any occasion. Reunions, church sings, banquets, annual meetings, funerals, nursing home programs, etc. Whenever and wherever the Lord leads us. This leads me to believe you perform at secular functions as well as
That's true.
Church functions.
That's true.
I'm confused.
Why?
Well, in my way of thinking, I would think that a secular function would require secular music.
No. We've performed for Christmas parties, for the bank. We've performed for bus drivers. We're going to perform for bus drivers. It's wherever they want a godly atmosphere.
Hmm. Okay, so you're saying then that the organizers of these events
call and ask us to sing.
Okay. For instance, I have the brochure from the EMC meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, like, what is the kind of response you get at one of these meetings? A secular meeting?
Like the EMC?
Yeah, or the bus driver's thing, or whatever.
Usually, it's really very responsive. We don't do an invitation like we do at a church function.
Okay, so there's a difference right
there's
there.
There's a difference with that. We don't do an invitation, but we still give a testimony, and we still, you know, sing gospel music. We don't change the music we sing.
Okay. Well, now, the types of people that attend these things usually belong to the organization?
Right. With the MC, it's whoever is the member of the Owen County Electric Membership
right.
Corporation.
I'm a member.
You know, and with the banks for their Christmas parties,
mm-hmm.
it's the employees and their wives or husbands, whichever the case may be. I don't know about the bus drivers. We really never sang for them before.
Bus drivers? That's interesting.
No, they call
what
it
bus
ass.
Drivers? School bus drivers?
Mm-hmm. I had to place the swan man is in the office if you...
We've done for the Christmas parties
uh-huh.
for the middle school and high school. We sang for that. The Christmas night banquets. We've sang for that before.
Well, are you all like in cahoots with these organizers or...
No.
I mean, do they know you to call you up and say, or do they, you know...
They know us, well, their own
personally,
county, they know
I
us
mean.
Personally. You know, they know of us. And but through the EMC, we've sent tapes to other EMCs, and we've been asked for their annual meeting.
Oh, so this is spread word of mouth.
Right.
And through your organization that you belong to, the Gospel
right, the
Music
GMA. Right.
Organization. Well, one thing I'm curious about, is there always food at these things?
Usually. Usually there is. And we always enjoy eating.
Because, well, I know you all sang at my church last
and
week.
And there was food, yes.
Always food, yes. That's the big men's dinner. And I did one of the programs myself 2 years ago. And then there's that church meeting. I met you at that first time back in, when was that, October?
Mm-hmm.
And
There was food
then
there.
Then there was the gospel sing I went to at the end of October.
Right.
Food there.
Right.
And
there's usually food. Now, in between those two things you mentioned, we sang at a church that did not have food.
And what kind of church was this?
It was a Baptist church. And we were all sort of like, okay, all right. So we all just looked at Jesus and said, we're eating in Tipton, right?
You were shocked that there was no food.
Yeah, usually they have light refreshments or something when they have a sing. But
and this was
reason,
a sing in the sense like...
It was opening up the revival. So you would
so
think...
This was a service.
Yeah, you would think that... But they didn't.
Is it possible they had dinner ahead of time and just didn't tell you?
No, the doors were locked when we got there.
You didn't know this was going to be fun, did you?
I'm going to end up with a fireball out my neck.
Well, okay, so there's not always food. What about the EMC meeting?
They had food.
They had food. No fooling. That was held in Fitzgerald this time.
At the Botec School, County Irwin.
Well, did they have food in the auditorium last year when they had it?
Outside.
They did have food.
They sure did. They had free Cokes and
what strikes me that food is central to these things.
Absolutely. Can't you tell by the size of us? It's essential.
Well, I do believe one of my comments at that meeting I went to was, I've noticed that nobody appears to be underfed here.
That's right. The only one that could possibly be called underfed is Marvin.
Yeah.
And he eats more than the rest of us.
Some of us have higher metabolism rates than
others. Must be nice.
Okay, well, now, so this is interesting.
I'm sorry.
All right, benefit
sing. We had the benefit sing last weekend.
What benefit sing?
And we even had a concession stand there, so you know we like food. For the man in the community that has cancer, that had his lung removed.
Oh, yeah.
We had four groups come in and we sang.
Well, do you always prepare the same way that you do for, like, a church service or gospel sing or...
No, well, the church service... You alternate slow and fast songs.
Uh-huh.
Okay. For usually secular events, there are very few slow songs. The audience seems to relate better to the faster versions.
Well, sort of.
And so we do the more of the faster selections.
Makes sense in a odd sort of way.
But in like with the benefit scene, you're on a time limit. It's not like a church thing. They'll usually say, until you want to quit, or usually we have them in this time span or something. But with the benefit sing, so many groups sing, and you usually limit to 30 minutes. The live one that we put in, and we talked about, there's, as far as practice goes, when we're real busy, we really don't practice.
Right.
Okay? Usually it takes us a while to memorize the words and memorize everything, and get used to the way Marvin plays it.
Does he play the same way every time?
No, and sometimes we don't end the song the same way every time. You just sort of have to listen to see where he's going. But there are a few times when we really felt that the Lord wanted us to learn a song and wanted it in our agenda or our program, and we've made tapes. Illegal, but we've made tapes of it so we can learn it faster,
No, it's not illegal.
Okay.
Well, anyway,
there's one song in particular. He's still alive, and we learned it after one practice. Of course, we all had a copy so we could keep practicing, But we practiced it one night and sang it the next thing. Which is like 3 days away, which is very unusual for us.
Okay. So the preparation is different from one type of thing to another. Time constraints are different. And
right.
You know all this stuff ahead of time, right?
Usually. sometimes we only know it 15 minutes ahead of time. But usually we know it ahead of time where we can plan it.
Now, about the audiences.
Mm-hmm.
Well, congregation slash audience, depending
right.
on where you're at. Do general, are they kind of the same or different, or?
They are very different.
No fooling.
Oh, very different. You'll go into some churches and some congregations that will clap and really express loudly that they're enjoying it.
You'll what kind
go
of churches
others
do that?
That were stone-faced. Really, religion has nothing to do with it.
It has to do with
individual congregation. Because we were in a Baptist church the other night, and it was like you could have heard a pin drop whenever we quit. You know, I mean, they clapped.
They were right.
Yeah. It was only at the end of the song. You didn't have any amens or yeah, you know. Just,
right.
You know.
I know.
Methodist was like that, but you sort of expected a Methodist church. I was born and raised a Methodist. I can say that.
Yes, you're allowed.
Okay.
yeah,
but they,
no,
they,
true.
They,
it's
no, wait a minute.
True.
They really got it. They got into it more than I expected compared to the Methodist church I was raised in.
Being
okay.
That's my Methodist church that I attend, your biggest responses come from the people who belong to the choir. They are the ones that,
you know, I mean, really, they seem to enjoy it a lot more than we really expected. And that's from my Methodist background that I was expecting, you know.
I know.
Let's see, Church of God really get excited, but...
But you
really,
expected us.
You really don't... Nothing else is going to hear this tape, right?
Just my professor.
Oh, wow. It's really... It doesn't really tend to go with the religion. Like you would expect it to. Because there have been Baptist churches that were just seem to enjoy, and there are Baptist churches that the only way you can really tell if they're enjoying or not is just by eyes. You know? Just by eyes.
I noticed at that sing that
mm-hmm.
I went to in October that they were pretty quiet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the men were all standing in the back just talking, and they built that fire back there, and
mm-hmm.
they had their little groups, and they were, it, to me, it looked more like a socializing event with background music than than anything.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, it was, there were several that were getting into it, and clapping about 2-1. That was it. But it was very cold, too.
True. They were out onto the fire.
This is true, too. Okay, so, moving on here. I have myself in Word, says, message. Your message is the same. It remains constant.
It remains constant. That Christ is Lord and that you need to be saved to go to heaven. And you need to accept Him and live for Him.
And what does this have to do with everything else?
Whatever.
You're singing.
Well, all the songs are related. I mean, to salvation, to Christ, to... That's not what you want. Is that what you want?
Well... I've just kind of noticed a lot of overlapping. For instance, you know, like you draw from the same repertoire for both secular and the church programs. So
yeah.
It all has to do with salvation and stuff.
Right.
And the mission statement here, it says here, wherever.
The Lord sends us?
Yes.
Right.
That was it. Now, I'm presuming here that this is not the only area of your life that this mission statement applies to.
No.
So, you sing because the Lord wants you to.
That's what we feel like, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how does this have anything to do with anything else that you do? Momentary pause to clarify the question. Scratch that last mess. I have clarified the question. What I'm getting at, okay, is, because I wrote it down, it's on my other piece of paper.
Okay. All right.
There is overlap. What I'm trying to find out is,
would a non-Christian, what?
Participate in a gospel group. I mean, would they feel that they needed to do this, and would it mean the same thing?
I don't think it would mean the same thing to that individual person, okay? If they didn't have the Lord as their Savior and was just participating, just singing.
Yes.
With no spirit feel, no
motivation.
Yeah, motivation, no really feeling like somebody wanted them to do it, that the Lord wanted them to do it. If they were doing it for their own benefit and their own joy, you know.
Right.
And monetarily.
Would they though?
I don't know that they would. But I've known of church members being members and participating in functions and working for the Lord that one day wake up and realize they're not saved. You know, they knew Him, but they didn't know Him. He wasn't really Lord of their life. They never
turned
anything
over. Okay, we need to clarify some hand signals here. Whereas videotape, knew him means probably knew of him.
Knew of him, right. Right.
Intellectually, but when the hand comes to the heart, it means know him personally.
Personally.
Is this correct?
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Yes. Well, we're not going to get into the deeper aspects
the deeper
of this,
thing.
Which I am sorely tempted at this point. But,
you know, we don't consider ourselves professionals, okay?
Right.
We're not professionals. We don't do this for a living, okay?
Right,
in that
term.
Sense. So, you know, I think a lot of people have the general belief that we're making a killing doing this, that the love offerings are really, I mean, we're making a lot of money with this.
And you're
but
not.
What they don't realize is that we're paying for equipment. We're paying for, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We have started now. We did not do it until this year. If we go on a long trip, take out gas money. Originally, that came straight out of our pockets, not out of love offerings. That we all went back in the bank for tapes, to make tapes, you know. But everything we do goes right back into the ministry. Except this year, we started taking out tape money. I mean, gas money, not tape money. Gas money and money for rooms if we have to stay in a hotel. Beforehand, we didn't do that. So, the public just has got this false belief that, you know, I don't know, maybe they look at the Dixie Echoes or maybe they look at the big guys, the cathedrals, you know.
Well, no,
but they do a
lot
of that.
They are professional.
They are professional. They do it for a living.
Well, I guess we're all called to a certain vocation because we are expected to support ourselves.
Right.
You got to live.
Right.
So they may have been called into that, whereas many are not.
Right.
Okay. So I had to clarify that too. Alrighty. Okay. History. Now, you told me the last time we talked you were raised as a Methodist, therefore you can talk about them. This is okay. And when you were a high school junior, you switched to the Episcopal Church. You married a Primitive Baptist and joined the Presbyterian Church in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you moved back to Georgia, Alamo, joined the Missionary Baptist Church. Now, what's the difference between a Missionary Baptist and a Primitive Baptist?
Missionary Baptists support missions.
Missions.
As in missionary work across.
As in
international and local. Primitive Baptists do not support missions. Primitive Baptists believe once saved, not once saved, always saved. They believe that there is an elect of God. You are either saved or you're not saved. And it's already predetermined before creation. Missionary Baptists do not believe. It's your choice. The Lord doesn't make you be saved.
And how does this all come out in the...
in the music?
Yeah.
I see no difference in it, if you want to know the truth, as far as the music. When I went to the Primitive Baptist Church, many of the hymns are the same. There's an overlapping of hymns. Two of our members of the group are Primitive Baptists.
Right.
And, you know, we got into a discussion one time because we really felt like one song was not being put on the program because we were afraid this person wasn't saved. And so we all just sat down and discussed it one night. And they told us that saved is not a term Primitive Baptists use. Well, I already knew that, you know. It's not a term that a lot of Methodists use. It came in...
There's a few of us that use it.
Yeah, but really, technically, it's not taught in the Methodist Church. It's saved.
Not that language.
Yeah. So we really sat down and this person told us that saved, no, they really weren't. They didn't know that terminology. Okay. But they could tell you the day that the Lord removed the scales from their eyes and they really saw what he wanted them to see. You know, so we all just looked at them and said, you're saved. You know, that's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, as far as the hymns wise and the songs, I see no difference.
Well, how is it then? I mean, if the theology is so different, how could one go from one to the other? Or is that just technical stuff and it's the everyday?
I think it's more technical. I think it's more doctrinal, technical, as far as the religions go. But I really see that there's not that much difference. The main difference is election. But with the people of our group, basically they believe what we believe. It's just...
So you all don't get into...
It's a family church. Mm-hmm. We don't get in religious. We don't get in doctoral arguments or anything.
Cool. Very smart. You
know, I mean, we're all out for the Lord and spreading his word. You know.
And that's your main...
That's the main thing.
...focus there,
right.
And that's what keeps you together.
Right.
Okay. Well, how does this all go into the community? I mean, like, this is a rural area.
Right.
I mean, even Fitzgerald is just
rural.
A little,
yeah.
You know.
Drop
in
the bucket.
Drop in the bucket, right. Just because they have more traffic lights than
That's
we
right.
do. It's still rural. And what significance do these events have in the community?
Probably to a great majority of people, none. Hopefully, to some, it makes them stop and pause and think about the Lord and think about where they are in their life and what they need to do to change. You know, maybe not. We have not really seen that many people saved. We've seen two
mm-hmm.
from the 3 years that we've been seeing. I think it's more pondering on where they are and what they need to do to straighten out themselves. You know, we've seen. Especially the one song, Little Jim. It really touches a lot of hearts.
Where did you get that song from?
Tony heard it on the radio station, the 1310 out of Douglas, the AM station. And he was on a tractor when he heard it, and it tore him apart, and he really felt the Lord wanted him to do it. Well, what I never told him is that I heard it that way too. And I thought, oh, that would be a good song, but I didn't catch the name of it. You know, But he did. Well, he put it off, and he put it off, and he thought he had it out of his system, And about 2 weeks went by, and he heard it again. And it did him the same way. It affected him the same way. And he made the Lord the promise that if he could live to Saturday, that he would go to the radio station and he would find that song.
If he could live till Saturday.
Yeah, and just, well, I mean, you know, well, you never know.
I think I know what you mean,
what I'm,
yeah.
You know, just let me make it, and I promise you, no matter what's planned for Saturday,
okay.
I will go to the radio station.
I thought there was something else in
there. No,
he's
not critically ill or anything. All right, he and Franklin, my husband, went. And he couldn't remember the name of the song either. I guess the Lord knew he needed to send it back to Tony, not to me, because Tony would be more productive with it. All right, so they went over, and he described it to the DJ, and the DJ says, I know exactly what song you're looking for. So they played it and taped it. And first time, the devil didn't let it be taped. The Lord came through. So the DJ says, we're going to play it again. And so he played it on the air again, and the second time it got taped.
Hmm.
And Tony looked at the cover and everything, and it was published, or it was copyrighted the year he was born.
Cool.
And he said, you know, yes, sir, I'll do this. You know, I'll do it. And he learned the words to it and played it, the tape for Marvin. We've since erased the tapes. But, you know, and so Marvin could learn the tune. And we now do it. And we don't do it every time. Usually we put it out in parentheses, and if Tony feels like the Lord wants it sung at that scene, then we do it.
Is like Tony your
He's our
leader?
MC kind of. He's the spokesperson of the group as far as in front of a crowd. Now, Franklin has fussed at me because several times I felt like the Lord wanted me to say some stuff and I didn't. And I don't know, I don't talk well in front of others. I talk fine during the classroom, but, and one-to-one I'm fine.
Was it Moses?
Yeah, but Moses needed a speaker, so I don't know.
That brings me to the topic of the roles of women and men.
Oh no, let's not get into that discussion.
Nothing in depth, but I am curious about just a couple of things, you know. I mean, I've noticed mostly the guys lead these things and the women do the cooking.
That's the Baptist.
Is it doctrinal based?
I really think it's a lot of doctrinal based, but...
Do you agree with it? Do you feel like this is the correct and accurate interpretation of the entire, or is that just, you know...
As far as women in the priesthood or women in
I'm talking about
I feel like a man needs to do it.
Talking about in day-to-day living.
I am subjected to my husband, yeah.
What does that mean?
That means he wears the pants of the family and he makes the decisions and I put my input in it, but I back him whether I agree with him or not.
That mean he's the boss?
He's the boss.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not like a partnership?
Well, it is. Gosh. It is, but it's...
I mean,
if one of us has to give in, I'm usually the one that gives in.
Well, I notice a lot of times all the guys end up doing all the talking.
All the talking, yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out, is that based on this same interpretation?
It could be. I don't know.
And, you know, I noticed some guys over there. Why do the guys end up cooking the barbecue when the women make the coffee?
I don't know.
You know, it's like, is this got scriptural significance or is it a cultural thing?
It could be cultural, too.
Or is it both? You know, you just observe certain things.
Yeah.
And the women sit in the front and the men stand in the back.
I don't know about that now.
Those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And the women always kind of stand off to the side and off to the back, and the men are always out there in the front doing all their talking. And I was just wondering if this was, does it all tie in, or is this just a way the gospel groups operate?
I guess.
Are there any women groups, all women?
Yeah.
There are?
Yeah.
I wonder
so
how
woman
they
has
do
to take
it. Yeah.
Usually it's probably the more
I'm sure they got a man managing
aggressive
them.
Not aggressive, no, but authoritative kidding. Maybe of the two. But see, Tony's not really that one. Tony, with us, Tony's like the mediator, you know. If somebody's got a problem, you sort of go through Tony or you go through Franklin.
Uh-huh.
You know, and
that
Tony
makes
usually
sense.
Mediates to everybody
okay.
else, settling arguments or something. And we don't argue that much. We just have disagreements as far as disagreeing about
what people
what
do.
We're doing. Yeah.
So you have to have a way to agree, you know, I mean, work things out. So Tony mediates.
More than, yeah.
Has he ever had to pray for y'all?
We've all done some serious praying.
Okay, I think this is, it says funerals.
Yeah, we have thank for funerals. But that's at request of the people.
Okay.
You know?
In that case, you wouldn't take up a love offering.
No.
Okay, so I saw on your bio sheet, y'all have been together about since 1992. You met at the horse farm.
Yeah.
Or got together through there.
Through horses, yeah.
And you basically travel.
Together.
Together. And family is priority.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty much, is there anything you have to say for the audience here?
Do you have somewhere that we always pray before we sing? I mean, I don't know. We have found out from different pastors that's unusual for a gospel group to call. I'm serious.
Say what?
I'm serious. Maybe the pastor doesn't know they're doing it. Let's put it that way. That we include the pastor usually at a church function, and any deacons that want to pray too, you know. And we've had several pastors to tell us that's unusual.
Really?
Now whether it's unusual that they included them, I believe that's more what it, because I would hate to know that I have gone out to perform and to carry God's word without his blessing, without asking for his blessings before we've stepped on that stage, you know.
Interesting. This could go on for hours, but we don't have hours.
As it is,
we already are on time. Well, thank you, Miss Sumner, very much for your cooperation.
You're quite welcome.
We're going now. Goodbye.